Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 10, titled Bhagavatam is the Answer to All Questions, and the text today is text 23. Please repeat. Vastuno mirdu katinya, lagu gurvosna sitatam, yigriksatas tuan nirbinna, Tasyam Roma Mahiruha Tatra Chantar Bahi Vatas Tvacha Labde Gunovrtaha. Vastuna, of all matter. Mrdu, softness. Katinya, hardness. Lagu, lightness. Guru, heaviness. Osna, warmness. Shitatam, coldness. Yigriksataha, desiring to perceive. Twak, the touch sensation. Nirbinna, distributed. Tasyam, in the skin. Roma, hairs on the body. Mahi Ruha, as well as the trees, the controlling deities. Tatra, there. Cha, also. Anta, within. Bahi, outside. Vataha Tvacha, the sense of touch or the skin. Labdha, having been perceived. Gunaha, objects of sense perception. Vrtaha, generated. Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. When there was a desire to perceive the physical characteristics of matter, such as softness, hardness, warmth, cold, lightness, and heaviness, the background of sensation, the skin pores, the hairs on the body and their controlling deities, the trees, were generated. Within and outside the skin is a covering of air through which sense perception became prominent. Purport. The physical characteristics of matter, such as softness, are subjects of sense perception, and thus physical knowledge is the subject matter of the touch sensation. One can measure the temperature of matter by touching with the hand, and one can measure the weight of an object by lifting it with the hand, and thus estimate its heaviness or lightness. The skin pores, and the hairs on the body are all interdependent with the touch sensation. The air blowing within and outside the skin is also an object of sense perception. This sense perception is also a source of knowledge, and therefore it is suggested here that physical or physiological knowledge is subordinate to the knowledge of the self, as above mentioned. Knowledge of self can expand to the knowledge of phenomena, but physical knowledge cannot lead to knowledge of the self. There is, however, an intimate relation between the hairs on the body and the vegetation on the body of the earth. The vegetables are nourishment for the skin, both as food and medicine, as stated in the third canto, Tvacham Asya Vinirbinnam Vibhishur Dishnyam Oshadi. Vastuno Mirdu Katinya Lagu Gurvosna Shitatam. Yigrik satastvan nirbinna tasyam roma mahi ruhaha tatra chantar bahirvatas tvacha labda gunovartaha. Kyana timiranda chay jananjana shalakaya chakshur ulmilitam yena tasmai sri guruve namaha. Nama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So, in this verse, or in this text, the key point that Prabhupada makes, wherever you see the word therefore in Prabhupada's purport, you know he's stressing a point. Okay, so somewhere in the middle of the purport we read just now, therefore, physical or physiological knowledge is subordinate to the knowledge of the self. Knowledge of self can expand to the knowledge of phenomena, but physical knowledge cannot lead to the knowledge of the self. So, who are we? We are not the body, we are spirit soul. Okay? This is what Prabhupada was hammering. Okay? Even now, we like, whenever someone walks in, we say, the first thing we say, we're not the body, Prabhu. We're not the body, we're the spirit soul. Okay? So that rolls off the tongue very easily. Okay? Then, who is God? What's his name? Krishna. Where's his abode? Golok. Okay? So he's Ishvara. And we are Jivas. So, where did we come from? We were there with Krishna, correct? In the spiritual world one time. So, why did we leave him? We wanted to be like God. We wanted to enjoy like him. We wanted to lord over material nature. And we wanted a place where we can be God. Okay? So, then we have just landed here and we are having fun. Right? Now, Sambandha Abhideya Prayojana. The Jiva has this eternal relationship with Ishvara. Okay? And the Prayojana, our goal of life, is to go back to Godhead. Okay? And we do that by needing to awaken our dormant love that is lying within our heart to go back to Krishna. And there is a process to it, the Abhideya. Prabhupada has built a house that the whole world can live in. Okay, we've got this Melbourne house. And all over the world, we've got various Hare Krishna houses. And Prabhupada has given us a system, a process, within which we can actually connect to the Almighty. Now, Sanatana Goswami, he actually asked Lord Chaitanya, what is the eternal position of the Jiva? So, what did Mahaprabhu answer? Jivere? Jivere Swarupa Hoy Krishnere Nitya Das. Our constitutional position is to be eternal servants of Krishna. Period. Full stop. Okay. Now, when we talk about knowledge, there is spiritual knowledge, there is mundane material knowledge. Knowledge that connects us to where we eternally came from, that awakens our love for God, that is real knowledge. Real knowledge is coming from Krishna himself, God. And it is coming down through a descending process. Right from the absolute at the very top, it is coming down. How did it start? Krishna actually revealed it to who? Lord Brahma, the first created being in the material world. Okay? And Lord Brahma was sitting on his lotus flower, not knowing where to go up or down. And then he was like going down and heard this word tapa, started doing austerity. Enlightenment was given to him. And he had to meditate for 1,000 celestial years before he got this enlightenment. This Vedic knowledge was revealed to him. And from Lord Brahma came down to? Who's Lord Brahma's spiritual son? Narada Muni. Okay. From Narada Muni came down to his disciple, who is? Srila Vyasadeva. Now Vyasadeva, what he did with that Vedic knowledge, he divided into four Vedas. What are the four Vedas? You all should be giving class. Okay, and not only that, he compiled all the Puranas. There are 16 major Puranas. Padma Puran, Garuda Puran, various other major Purans, Skanda Puran. To be a major Purana, there have to be 10 main subject matters in the Purana. It starts with creation, Sarga, sub-creation, Visarga. Then we got planetary, the topic about planetary systems. We got the topic about protection by the Lord. Then what else? We got the creation impetus. We got changing of the Manus, signs of realization of God. We've got what? Returning back to Godhead. We got liberation. And then finally, the conclusion, which is the summum bonum. That is Krishna stu svayam. Okay, Krishna stu Bhagavan svayam. So, anything that is originating from Krishna himself, which is coming down in this bona fide chain of spiritual gurus, is authorized, is absolute. That is it. It is said that is what we are actually meant to accept. And Srila Vyasadeva then, after compiling the Puranas, he also compiled the Vedanta Sutra. Then he took the essence of the Vedanta Sutra, he came up to what we have, the Amala Purana called Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the literary incarnation of God. Okay. Now, Srimad Bhagavatam, we know, we've heard this, is a ripened fruit of the tree of Vedic knowledge. And only knowledge about the Absolute can actually lead us to self-realization. In contrast, when we compare this absolute knowledge to physical knowledge or material knowledge, as this text today is talking about, we've got material creation where God actually created for us. We wanted to lord over material nature. He said, all right, here's your house. Go and enjoy. Okay, 8.4 million species are floating around all these material universes. 400,000 of them are human forms. And on this planet Earth, there is one human form called Homo sapiens, which is us. And here we are, lording it over material nature. Okay, we are thinking that we are God. We are doing whatever that we want to take control. Everything is about taking control. It's all about sense gratification. Okay. Physical knowledge or material knowledge, in contrast to spiritual knowledge, it is actually in an ascending process. It develops through an ascending process from below. It starts with zero. Okay. It goes up, and then as it is going up, there is a lot of skews, a lot of off-tangents, because we are like shooting in the dark. We do not know what we are trying to actually aim for. And in this process, there are lots of experiments, hypotheses, and we have a set of conclusion that we draw where we say, this is it. This is what we set as the truth according to our knowledge, according to the poor fund of knowledge that materialists have. For example, we go to the sea, we taste the water, like this purport here says, physical knowledge is through the perception of touch. We taste the water, it tastes salty. Then we conclude, okay, this sea is salty. And then we form this limited boundary where we say there cannot be anything else beyond a salty sea. But Bhagavatam says there are oceans of milk. And Bhagavatam says there are oceans of liquor. You tell these materialists there is an ocean of liquor, they'll ask you, show me where, I want to go there. You tell them, where is this ocean of milk? They say, no, I don't believe it, cannot be. All I know is there's this ocean of salt, nothing else, full stop. Okay. They create something flying. They see the bird and they use their intelligence and say, oh, okay, I'm creating a plane. They name it the A380 or the Dreamliner and say, look at this, it's huge chunk of metal flowing in the air, floating in the air. And they take pride in their achievement. thinking they're very intelligent. But Bhagavatam says there are cities floating out there. But they cannot believe this. They cannot accept this. They say, no way. The only thing I can accept is where I go to watch a movie, a science fiction movie, where Avatar shows like there are mountains floating, and it's like I've got Star Wars where there are empires floating. That I believe in science fiction movies. But your scripture, I don't believe. So we have this conditioning. This conditioning, we say, is what we see, what we feel, what we touch is the knowledge and truth to us. And this conditioning to each individual, it degrees in various thickness. We've been going through these cycles of birth, old age, disease, death in this material world. And this conditioning is varying in different individuals. Some are absolutely gross materialists. You just cannot reason with them anything about God. They're faithless. The boss that I work for, in the company I work for now, is a classic example of this. Okay. He's a gross materialist. Okay. I've been working for him for 9 years, and it's like, I know. It was one small, tiny business, one tiny shop he had. Okay, and then 9 years ago, it's like, Manu, let's do this. We have to expand our business. Our business. He gets me engaged in it, even though he owns it. Okay. Okay. We have to actually expand this business. Okay, I want to make this big. I want to, like, you know, take control. And he's such a control freak. So the journey started. The mode of passion, in the mode of ignorance, doing whatever he had to do, cheat, lie, deceit, whatever, the business expanded. Okay, now he's got 3 big buildings from about 5 workers. He's now got more than 20 workers. And after 9 years, he's suddenly realizing, Mano, I can't take this. This is nonsense. I got no life. I'm working 80 hours a day. I got staff problems every day I come in. I got these business problems. I got to attend to this. I got staff who are absent. I can't take this. I want my life. Then I tell him, well, sell your business. No, I can't sell it. No. I have to have it. Control. That nature, it's so strong. That conditioning is so strong. Control. Doesn't want to just give it up. He's going through this process of just getting knocked about. But it's just not sinking in. And I'm there with him. So as I'm saying, this is an example of a gross materialist. But by the mercy of the Lord, these conditioned living entities get the opportunity to actually come in contact with Krishna consciousness. All of us here have a story to talk or to tell about how we came in contact or how we actually joined Krishna consciousness. That'll be nice to hear from each of us. But if you actually wind back from where you are today, if you wind back, you would realize that there has been a series of events in our life, in this lifetime, bringing us to this present point in life where the Lord, through his causeless mercy, has prepared us, has orchestrated our journey to where we are today. Like, I can recall when I was like, I think in my early 20s or late 20s, I wasn't in Krishna consciousness. This was way back in Malaysia, and I was like working. It's like in the mode of passion. Yeah, I can conquer the world. Yeah. You know, mode of passion, ignorance, no mode of goodness. Very comparable to my current boss. And one day, and I was a demigod worshipper. One day there was a knock on the front gate, and we just opened the gate and saw this devotee in saffron, brahmachari. He was on his book distribution rounds, and he had picked the house where I was staying, my sister's house, and I saw him and I said, oh, what do they want now? You know, ignorance. Okay, and he was holding a book. He was holding a Bhagavad Gita. And I knew he wanted some donation. So I went out with the money in my hand. Not that I wanted to buy the book, but I wanted to get rid of him. Ignorance. Okay? So happily, not happily, took the book, went back to my mundane ways. And Bhagavad Gita, that Bhagavad Gita, lived in my car glove compartment for many years. Didn't turn a page. And I was feeling happy. Oh, I've got God in my car, protected. Ignorance. The conditioning. Okay, and then time went by, still wasn't in Krishna consciousness. Then there was this colleague of mine, again back in a company, another company I was working in Malaysia, where he said, look, I want to go to this Hare Krishna temple and I want to buy some posters. And he said, come follow me. I said, yeah, all right, okay. Followed him. Went to the temple. It was Jagannath Mandir in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. And looking, entering the temple room and looking at this big form, with these big eyes, and I was like wondering, this can't be God. Why is God looking like this? And then the devotees were nice. Prabhu, come have prasadam, and doing the normal traditional thing, put a few dollars or coins in the donation box. Okay. Again, ignorance, not knowing what was happening. And the journey progressed. Next, there was one day my sister called and said, look, you should come to my house. I'm organizing this home program. Went to her house, sat in front there, and I saw this speaker. Markings on his forehead like this, tilak, neck beads, sika, dressed in white grihastha. And he was talking about Bhagavad Gita. I had no idea, no clue what he was talking about. Okay, and then I asked my sister, what's he wearing? Go ask him. So it was in total thick mode of ignorance. Then again it progressed to like say, I want to migrate to Australia. Malaysia is not a good place to live. I want to take my children to a country where they can get good education. Australia, land of milk and honey. I'll take them there. Yeah. Okay. Good universities. Okay. So we landed here. We landed here, and of course, then the thought process comes, I want my children to be connected with the Indian culture. Because here it's all white-bodied people, Australians, there's no culture. I want them to be connected to culture. I need to look for a temple. Hare Krishna temple. Okay. Let's take the boys to the Hare Krishna temple. Every Saturday, Sunday, every Saturday we used to bring. And the boys were young. When we arrived, my young boy was 9 months old and my elder boy was about 4 years old. So the four-year-old boy would come and sit in Chandravallabhi Mataji's class. God bless her soul. Okay, and while he is actually being taught by her, the parents, either me or my wife, would also be in that class learning. Because our knowledge was zero. And then we progressed to actually sit in the 5 o'clock Bhagavad Gita class in the temple room. So from the children's class in the theater room, we progressed here to the temple room. Okay, and in the temple room, of course, the pieces of the jigsaw started falling into place bit by bit, bit by bit, bit by bit. Not that it's all formed a complete picture, but at least it's building up. And all this is only happening by the mercy, the causeless mercy of the Lord. We are simply puppets where the Lord is orchestrating each individual conditioned living entity soul here to bring us to this point. As I said, we all know where we were. And when physical knowledge, the conditioning that we have, comes in contact with real knowledge, there is a terror barrier. In the corporate world, we call this zone, this little zone where you are in your comfort zone, where when you need to come out of your comfort zone, there's the little boundary where you feel you're pushing your comfort level. You just feel the resistance there. That's a terror barrier. You break through that, then you have a new comfort, a larger comfort area. And in this case, it's like we're talking about spiritual knowledge, real knowledge, coming in contact with the old conditioning, and there's this friction at that point. Like oil and water, it just doesn't mix. But that only can happen to a conditioned soul to cross over to accept real knowledge by the causeless mercy of the Lord. We may be thinking that I made the conscious decision to join the Hare Krishna movement. No. Only by the causeless mercy of the Lord. And here, as I said, material knowledge or physical knowledge is all about speculation, experimenting, and it's all about sense gratification in Kali Yuga. Checking my notes. So as I say, it's only by the causeless mercy of the Lord that we have got this opportunity to actually come in contact with real knowledge. And this is the beginning of our journey of self-realization. We take initiation in the Hare Krishna movement. Initiation, the word literally means what? Beginning. Okay, it is the beginning of our spiritual knowledge, the beginning of our journey to actually self-realize, to go back to Godhead. So, Srila Prabhupada actually said, and this is coming from chapter 4, verse 34, he starts off his explanation there. He starts off by saying, the path of spiritual realization is undoubtedly difficult. Spiritual realization is undoubtedly difficult. Because here we are, as I said, we have journeyed through, we have been receiving the causeless mercy of the Lord, we have come to this point where now, sitting through Bhagavatam class and listening to all the gurus and lectures and all that, they talk to us about Krishna Prem, Bhava, Ruchi, and all these things. We sometimes feel, God, am I ever going to reach that? Okay. There's this feeling of demoralization sometimes. It's like, it's so far away. Is that really something that I can actually achieve in this lifetime? But if we think about where we are, where we were, then we have made progress. So, given that this system actually works, instead of feeling demoralized, we should actually see it in a positive manner and say that, yes, it is actually working. I know what I was. I know where I was. I know how I was. And today, I'm at a point where I've made some progress in my spiritual life. Through the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, through the mercy of the devotees. And we think, we tell ourselves, I want more of this, and I want the association of devotees, and I want to put myself in a position where I can actually move on this path. But if you meditate and ponder on that, even getting the association is not our conscious decision. Krishna sends appropriate souls into our life to awaken our dormant love for Him. We don't deserve this. If we are family members, if you have a partner, your partner is actually a soul sent into your life to actually help you, assist you in your journey of spiritual consciousness. If you've got children, the children are Vaikuntha children who have been sent to us to actually liberate us, the individual. We may be, of course, the Bhagavatam says, it is our first duty to liberate our dependents. Don't be a mother, don't be a father, don't be a spiritual teacher, don't be a demigod if you cannot liberate your dependents. But who is the dependent? Is the parent the dependent or the other way around? The parent is actually a recipient of the mercy of the Lord through the association of the souls with him or her. Okay, and so it may seem difficult at this point to like make progress, but as I said, it's all about reflecting where we were and meditating on the point that the Lord has been so merciful. Srila Prabhupada has given us the process, and all we need to do is engage in, what's the key phrase here? Devotional service. The secret is, we have been journeyed through, we have been, someone, Lord has held our hand and brought us to this point to bring us to devotional service. We engage in the 9 processes of devotional service: Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Pada Sevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam. Okay, we get the opportunity in this lifetime to engage in devotional service. That is the key. That is the key to awake our dormant love for Krishna. That is the difference between us and those who are non-devotees out there. Krishna consciousness is that adjustment, that mental adjustment where we see everything that we do, every activity that we do in relation to Krishna. And that means we are meditating on Krishna through our normal daily activities. Krishna consciousness is unique in the sense that whole day, 24 hours a day, we are actually meditating if all our activities are in relation to Krishna. This is different to the conditioned meditation where my boss goes for 1 hour yoga. That's the only connection that he's got. For all the stress that he goes through, he goes for his 1 hour yoga and say, I zone out, this is my space, and I connect. That's his 1 hour meditation. But our life is unique in the sense that through the mercy that we've got, 24 hours a day, we have the opportunity to actually connect with Krishna. Even sleeping can be meditation. I heard a lecture from by my spiritual master where he was saying, this was going back to his brahmachari days where he was in a brahmachari ashram. And middle of the night, he heard this chanting. Everybody was sleeping, they heard this chanting. And he saw there was this someone, this brahmachari was actually chanting. And he was like thinking, what's going on here? So he went near to the brahmachari, and the brahmachari was actually sleeping, chanting in his sleep at 1 a.m. Then he was like thinking, oh, this is perfection. Where even in sleeping, he is meditating on thinking about the Lord, Krishna. So, knowledge, we've got all this opportunity, we've got all this mercy from the Lord, but this knowledge, if it is not applied, it is useless. Knowledge without application is useless. Be it physical, material knowledge, or be it spiritual knowledge. If you don't apply it in your life, it's useless. No point just memorizing the Bhagavad Gita, no point just reading the Bhagavad Gita from page to page, memorizing all the slokas and all that. If we can rattle off the slokas perfectly like an authoritative pandit, but if that does not come out, it doesn't get applied, then we are not actually attempting to self-realize. So, the secret here is, as I said, continue with the devotional service that we have been given. It's special mercy that we have got. Think about it. Out of the many millions, only so few are in this room have the opportunity to engage in devotional service. But the many out there are not. So it confirms what I said. We have, in a way, been given the special mercy handpicked by God to connect with Him, to awaken our dormant love for Him. Okay, so, and in Melbourne, there's so much of devotional service. Just look around you. So much to do. Okay, whether you want to, see, like yesterday, for example, I was on the altar. There is so much of devotional service to do in Melbourne, and on the altar too, there's so much of service to do. But funnily, sometimes it is difficult to even get a pujari to dress the Lord's. Like yesterday, actually, Bhakti, this is something that you all don't know. Bhaktiman actually dressed Radha Vallabha and Gauranitha yesterday. Okay? So he's getting extra mercy, and someone who was rostered to do that service, for whatever reason, I don't know, okay, was actually lost that opportunity to get that service. So maybe again, it's like the Lord, maybe Gauranitha wanted Bhaktiman to dress them. They say, I want this devotee dress me. So whatever opportunity that you have to do devotional service, do not give it up. Do not give it up, because once you give it up, not only do you lose the mercy, you actually also are not strengthening your path of actually moving on spiritual realization. Whatever little devotional service that you have, don't give it up. Hang on tight to it as long as you live in this material body. Because if you continue doing your devotional service up to the ripe old age when you're about to leave your body, that is actually a boon, being able to live up to a ripe old age and be engaged in devotional service. Because that is giving us the opportunity to purify ourselves. And with that, at the time of death, Krishna says, at the time of death, we're supposed to remember him. So if we are engaged in devotional service, come the time of death, it would be, I'm sure, easier to think of Lord. So never give up whatever little devotional service you have. In fact, you should ask for more. And once you get that more, don't let go. Hang on to it for dear life. It's amazing, because in Melbourne, from what I've been told, we've got about 60 to 70 second initiated devotees. But it's sometimes difficult to get three pujaris on the altar to dress the deities. Do you know why, Nanda Mandir? I don't know. So, it is God-sent mercy being engaged in devotional service. Making ghee wicks, making garlands. Don't give it up. Fight for that service. Okay, if you, just for whatever reason, you cannot do that service, make sure you make specific arrangements, like saying, I'm only letting you do for this one time. I want it back the next time. Because it's going to come to a point, I know, it's going to come to a point where at the rate that Melbourne congregation is growing, there is going to be a fight for service. So take my advice. Don't let go what you got. All right, now, okay. Today is also the disappearance day of Srivas Pandit, according to the calendar. So I thought it'll be best to remember a little bit about Srivas Pandit. Who is he? Okay. What we'll do for the next few minutes, I think we should be able to do it. Next few minutes, we'll read a little bit about him and also hear some pastimes from Chaitanya Bhagavat. Now, Srivas Pandit is described as an incarnation of Narada Muni. And Sriram Pandit, his younger brother, is said to be an incarnation of Parvata Muni, a great friend of Narada's. Srivas Pandit's wife, Malini, is an incarnation of the nurse Ambiga, who fed Lord Krishna milk. His niece, Narayani, the mother of Vrindavan Das Thakur, the author of Chaitanya Bhagavat, was the sister of Ambiga in Krishna Leela. And after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually accepted the sannyas order, Srivas Pandit left Navadvip. He was based in Navadvip. He was a family man, has a big family. He's got a wife, Grihastha, and he's a Grihastha. So he left Navadvip And here it says possibly because of feelings of separation and domiciled at a place called Kumarahatta. Lord Sri Krishna, before appearing as Lord Chaitanya, requested that certain devotees like to precede him, like Sachimata, Jagannath Mishra, Madhavendra Puri, Keshav Bharati, Advaita Acharya, the Panchatattva descended. Srivas Pandit was among them. Okay. Now, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he always appeared in four places. In the household temple of Mother Sachi, Sachimata, in the places where Nityananda Prabhu danced, in the house of Srivas Pandit, and this was during congregational chanting, and we know when we go to Mayapur, we have a place called Srivas Angan. Who has been there? Srivas Angan. Lots of wonderful pastimes and amazing kirtans have taken place there between the Lord and his close associates. And the other place where he appears is in the house of Raghava Pandit. He appeared because of his attraction to the love of his devotees. Now, Srivas Pandit hailed from a place called Silhet. He later came to live in Navadvip, where he made an immense contribution to Gauranga Leela. From Chaitanya Bhagavat and Chaitanya Charitamrita, we learn that Srivas lived with his brothers in Navadvip. His brothers were Sriram Pandit, Sripati Pandit, Srikanta, or Srinidhi Pandit. All four were part of Mahaprabhu's Leela. And one of that Leela is where, from Chaitanya Bhagavat, where this is a pastime of where a Brahmachari, okay, all Brahmacharis, listen, this is going to be useful for you. There's a pastime where the Brahmachari was trying to participate in Lord Chaitanya's nocturnal kirtans in Srivas Pandit's house. Okay. Here we go. Every night, the Lord engaged in performing Sankirtan along with the devotees, and the non-devotees were not allowed to enter. The envious persons, being forbidden to come and see the chanting and dancing, went around spreading malicious rumors. Someone said, "Who can be a real Vaishnava in Kali Yuga? These people are simply acting like devotees for the purpose of filling their bellies." Another person said, "If we could tie these devotees' hands and feet and throw them in the river, we would get some peace." Yet another said, "Know this for certain, Nimai Pandit will cause the ruination of our village." These miscreants tried all kinds of methods to gain entrance into the kirtan. They even resorted to threatening the devotees, but all of their attempts failed. Some of the townspeople who very much wanted to see the kirtans but were unable to do so accepted that it was due to their great misfortune. Some people approached the devotees and begged them to somehow smuggle them into the kirtan. The devotees knew that Lord Chaitanya is the omniscient Paramatma and would thus immediately detect any unauthorized person's presence. Thus, out of fear of the Lord's wrath, the devotees refused to take anyone inside. There was a Brahmachari who was very peaceful, honest, and faultless. He practiced penance, living on only fruits and milk and nothing else. And he wanted to see the Lord. Lord Chaitanya personally closed the doors so that the non-devotees could not enter. This Brahmachari would visit Srivas Pandit every day and repeatedly request him to let him enter the kirtan. He told Srivas, "If you kindly take me inside your house during kirtan, I can feast my eyes on the pandits chanting and dancing. I would be ever grateful to you for this." One day, Srivas finally replied, "I know that you are a good person, living a sinless life and maintaining strict celibacy. I think that you are eligible to see the Lord's chanting and dancing, but you must remain hidden within the house because the Lord has ordered that no one be allowed inside." Srivas Pandit brought the Brahmachari inside and he carefully concealed him. Thereafter, the kirtan began and the Lord started dancing. Nityananda Prabhu and Gadadhar Pandit danced around the Lord while Advaita Acharya went here and there. Everyone felt as if they were drowning in an ocean of ecstasy as they became oblivious of the external world around them. The Lord was also lost within himself, dancing to the devotees singing, and he manifested all the ecstatic symptoms. The omniscient Supreme Lord was fully aware of the Brahmachari's presence. After a short while, he commented, "Today, I do not feel the usual ecstasy while dancing. Can any of you explain this? Maybe someone is hiding in the house. Tell me the truth." Becoming very fearful, Srivas Pandit said, "My Lord, I assure you that there are no atheists in this house. There is just a brahmachari, a fully qualified brahmana who is sinless and he only eats fruit and drinks milk. He had a strong desire to see your dancing. You are correct, my Lord. He is hiding here now." This information angered the Lord, who then said, Take him out of the house right now. What spiritual sadhana has he practiced so that he can now see me dancing? How can he develop devotion for me by drinking milk alone?" The Lord dramatically raised his arms and pointed his finger to make a point, saying, "No one can attain me just by drinking milk. On the other hand, even if a dog eater, if he takes shelter of me, I accept him. A person may be fully renounced, a sannyasi, but if he does not surrender to me, then I do not favor him. Tell me, what did Gajendra, the elephant, Hanuman, the monkey, or the gopis, who were simple milkmaids, do to attain me? What austerities did they perform? There were great demons who performed severe austerities, but were they not killed because they did not surrender to me? I will not have a milk drinker polluting everything. I will destroy everything." The brahmachari was trembling with fear. He came out of hiding, thinking, "It is my great fortune to have been able to see what I've seen, and I've received the proper punishment for my misdeed. What wonderful singing and dancing I saw." A devotee always thinks and feels in this way and is willing to accept the Lord's chastisement. The brahmachari started to walk out of the house, thinking like this, but the Lord had him called back. Lord Chaitanya placed his lotus feet on the brahmachari's head and blessed him by saying, "Do not try to make yourself powerful by performing austerities. Render loving devotional service to Lord Vishnu, for this is the perfection of all activity." That is one pastime. And another one for grihasthas. As I said, Srivas Pandit is a grihastha family man, wife, children and all that. One day, the Lord called Srivas Pandit aside and confidentially said, "I see that you never go anywhere. Why is this? How do you maintain your family?" Srivas Pandit replied, "My Lord, I do not have any inclination to go anywhere." The Lord gently prodded, "Srivas, you have a big family. How will you look after them with this kind of attitude?" Srivas Pandit replied, "Whatever I deserve by destiny will surely come to me of its own accord." The Lord then urged, "You should take sannyas." Srivas Pandit replied, "This is not possible for me." The Lord said, "On the one hand, you are not willing to take sannyas. On the other hand, you do not want to beg and maintain your family. How will you provide for your household? I do not understand you. Unless one works for it, nothing is going to come of its own. Please tell me, what do you propose to do?" In response, Srivas clapped his hands 3 times and said, "Here is my explanation. 1, 2, 3. The Lord demanded, "What is the meaning of this?" Srivas Pandit replied, "I have vowed, if after fasting for 3 meals, I do not receive food, I will tie a stone around my neck and drown in the Ganga." The Lord loudly retorted, Srivas, what are you saying? Even Lakshmi may somehow have to go begging, but your family will never experience poverty. Have you forgotten what I said in Bhagavad Gita? To those who worship me with devotion, meditating upon my transcendental form, I supply their necessities and preserve what they have. Those who are fixed in undeviating meditation upon me never have to go beg from anyone. All mystic powers automatically manifest in them. Such devotees are protected by the Sudarshan Chakra at all times, even at the time of total annihilation of the universe. They remain transcendental and unaffected. My devotees need not have any concern for their maintenance because I take that responsibility upon my shoulders. Srivas, you just remain in your house and every requirement will automatically come to you. I am blessing you and Advaita Acharya that you will never be affected by old age, disability and or senility. The Lord called for Ramai Pandit, Srivas's brother, and told him, you should always serve your elder brother as you would the Supreme Lord. Know that you are also very dear to me. So, in conclusion, we are here today because of the causeless mercy of the Lord. And we have got this connection with spiritual knowledge. We are getting the mercy of the Lord. We've got the connection. All we need to do is beg for the Lord in this lifetime at least that we will constantly be engaged in devotional service so that we can make advancement in our spiritual journey. Hare Krishna. 9 o'clock. Any questions, comments? Yeah.
If there's no correlation,
yeah.
That's what I got from what you said, then I would imagine that Krishna would
have to work with there is a correlation. Okay? Krishna is our spiritual loving father. Okay? Just like any parent where if you've got this natural love for your children. Okay? The child has left the spiritual loving father. The father has followed all the way from the spiritual world. He has descended. He has actually shown us the love, and he is here to actually reclaim, take us back to where we belong. But it is up to this conditioned soul to revive that dormant love within, to actually go back to God. Because if you do not revive your dormant love, and if God were to just take you, pluck you, take you back to Goloka Vrindavan, would you stay long there? You haven't purified yourself. Before you know it, you still have that lording mentality. You still want to come back immediately. While he's still here, looking after us, guiding us along the way, every step of the way, it is still our endeavor. We got to revive that dormant love. Does that answer your question?
So there has to be some effort on our part.
A lot of effort.
To actually want to do that.
A lot of effort. But you can only put your hands together and pray that the Lord actually makes this effort easier. Only by, it has to come. See, the effort can only come with the Lord's mercy. Lord's mercy must be there. Any other comments?
You mentioned Lord Chaitanya is maintaining his devotee, all his necessities. So, why do all the devotees have to go to get a job and work?
Yeah, as I said, it is part of the process of reviving our spiritual love. Because if we don't go out there, get knocked about, like I told you the story of my boss, and me too, I'm there with him, it is torture, believe me, it is torture going out there, 8:30 to 5, working. All those working, you can relate to what I'm saying. We do not enjoy working. Okay? But we we got to experience it to know how miserable it is, so that we look for spiritual knowledge. We got to be so disgusted with it instead of being attached to it, so that we look for the real knowledge. Any other comments? Yeah. It's like providing for us and at the same time also giving us the spiritual mercy. It's a win-win. Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai.